The Messiah is expected now by many Jews. Rabbi Ted Falcon explains.
There are two basic ways that the time for the coming of the Messiah is understood within some of the traditional circles in Jewish tradition. One is through trying to figure out numerologically on the basis of old texts when, in what year, in what era. And there are those who say, just as we talk about this being the Aquarian Age, there are those who are discovering in the flow of the zodiac and the flow of various segments of history that this is the time when Messiah is supposed to awaken. There are others who look at various world events and say that it's through those world events that the indications of such a coming is to be announced. And those are the ones who look and see that the issues in Israel are harbingers of such a moment now, that the political, the social difficulties, the exacerbation of the violence even there and in the world as a whole speaks the conditions which in fact are required for that messianic being to arrive.
I think one of the most important questions that each of us has to ask is, what would happen if the second coming happened while we were living? Would it happen in my life?
Muslims expect the Imam Mahdi.
I was born and raised in a Muslim family, and Muslims believe that Imam Mahdi, which is the last of 12 imams, is a religious leader. He disappeared, and he is to appear again when the world is full of chaos and to restore peace and bring good relations among the nations.
I think that the one that the followers of all religions believe is coming back is here among us. I think we're ready for it.
There are brilliant economists gathered together by hierarchy over the decades who will put together a much more equitable system that will replace the current stock market, which, as Maitreya has said, is little more than a gambling casino. There's very little real goods that change hands. So we've got the old way of thinking versus the new, which will be embraced in the end by the mass of humanity. And why is this important? Well, the old guard, the old way of thinking with division and competition and greed and the hoarding of resources and the denying people of their basic human rights, all of this has had a literal slowing down effect on the evolution of humanity. That's how dangerous it is, which will result in a huge explosion of creativity. All countries will take inventory of what they have in excess, but they don't need. And then there'll be a UN agency that'll help coordinate the pooling of these resources. And then they will be redistributed to the countries that need them. Some other countries have what we need and don't have. We have something in excess that they need. And so this way we'll share. It doesn't mean giving up your home. But the sort of cleavage is actually a positive phenomena and represents the very antithesis of violence. It is an expression of love. And that we will explain in detail. And we will also give you source material where you can look this up on your own. So, the sword of cleavage is actually, of course, not a sword. That's just a metaphor. It's actually an energy, as I said, the energy of love. And it is wielded by the world teacher. We can transform a world of chaos into one of justice, peace, enlightenment, brotherhood, synthesis, and planetary restoration, where the basic human rights of all, without exception, are honored and protected. So what we're getting at is that humanity is not alone. Actually, we never have been alone. We only thought we were. These elder brothers have been guiding humanity from behind the scenes for hundreds of thousands of years. And now, in this time, for the first time in humanity's history, not only are they back, because they've been here before, but their leader, the world teacher, is manifesting in physical form to walk among us and teach us. And this is something that we have never seen before. And this is part of the new age they're entering, the age of Aquarius, and will last some 2,500 years. This has been prophesied for thousands of years, for instance, by the world's religions. You know that the Jews await the Messiah, the Hindus await the latest incarnation of the Kali Avatar, the Christians await the Christ, the Muslims are awaiting the Imam Mahdi, and the Buddhists are awaiting the latest incarnation of Maitreya Buddha. Maitreya is the world teacher for this, the Aquarian Age. They are not looking for followers. They don't need you to believe in them. They don't need you to follow them. They just came to teach, and they hope that you will listen. And being perfected human beings, I think it would be foolish of us not to take this kind of advice. I know I will, or try anyways, because remember, we are not isolated, separate human beings having this experience. We are really part of one great oversoul, you and I. So to take this from back to front, or rather from the ancient past to the present, I've gathered some quotes. And here's a couple right here. This is from Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And another, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And here's a third one. And a man's foes shall they be of his own household. Now, we don't want to take this literally, but what it means is, with the energy that the Masters of Wisdom and the world teacher Maitreya are bringing into the world, it has a tendency to make people more what they are. It amplifies the good and the bad. People that are good get better. People that are bad get worse. What's the point of that? So that mankind as a whole will know which way to turn, who to go with, who to stand with, who to work with, who to build a future with. And you can look at our own social, economic, political, spiritual, philosophical worlds today and see who is someone worthy of working with, and someone you'd want to move away from. From Maitreya came 140 messages through Benjamin Krem. Benjamin is sort of a modern-day John the Baptist, author, esotericist, and artist who has been talking about the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters in the modern era from approximately 1974 to 2016. In the modern era, we can draw much from the writings not only of Benjamin Krem, but of Alice Bailey and Helena Rodrigue and Madame Blavatsky, and realize that none of these teachers nowadays are of any particular religious or philosophical leaning. They're all non-denominational. So this represents all groups, as does Maitreya. Because some may think that he was Hindu or Buddhist, but in fact, he is, of course, non-denominational and timeless. There's a tremendous amount of potential that will spring forth from humanity, and we will make a tremendous leap forward. So consider that when you sometimes get a little anxious about the future, you really have a lot to look forward to, as long as we let go of the past. Benjamin Krem was first contacted by spiritual hierarchy of the planet, another name for the Masters of Wisdom, also the Lords of Compassion, back in, what was it, 1959, and they told him if he wanted, he'd have a part to play in the emergence of the World Teacher. He said yes, and over the years, that particular Master of Wisdom worked with Ben to set up a moment-by-moment telepathic rapport. And so many messages came through Ben to humanity, not just Maitreya's messages that I referenced earlier, but other writings that came through his master that Ben wrote down in much the same way that the master DK worked through Alice Bailey and others. So here's a quote that I really loved from Ben's master in reference to what the world will be like when we start to solve these problems. And the quote goes thusly, "Millions will know for the first time the quiet happiness of satisfied need." Because think about it. When we're hungry, we go to the refrigerator or we go to a restaurant. As Ben has said before, we don't think twice about it. But there are probably, I'm not sure of the exact figures, but around at least 1 billion people who don't have enough to eat, living on less than $1 a day, and their children are dying before their very eyes because there's no food to eat, nothing for perhaps 100 miles around, and no water, clean water to drink. We cannot talk to people about highfalutin spiritual awareness when they can't eat. And this is a blasphemy in the eyes of hierarchy, the spiritual hierarchy. As I said, another name for the Masters of Wisdom. We live on a planet with an approximate 12% food surplus, and yet 25,000 people a day are dying of starvation. This is completely unnecessary. What's lacking is the political will to move these supplies to where they're needed. For instance, we have storehouses in the West with food stacked, you know, 3, 4, 5 stories high, rotting, being eaten by rodents, where speculators are waiting for the price to go up. Meanwhile, across the planet, we've got people starving for want of the food that's rotting in the storehouses of the West. This should be unacceptable to any human being, and it is the spiritual crises of today. Our crises are not in the realm of philosophy and religion. And spiritual means anything that pushes the race forward, the human race. You could have spiritual art, spiritual accounting, spiritual janitorial work, spiritual politics. Every act, every thought, potentially, could be spiritual. That deprivation I just spoke of is the antithesis of spirituality, and it must be solved. And this is a spiritual crisis of today. The message from the Masters is share and save the world. The equitable sharing of the world's resources to end poverty and war. That poverty and that injustice have within them the seeds of war, which would be a third world war and destroy all life on the planet. And we didn't come this far to blow it now, and you can bet Maitreya wouldn't have come back into the world just to see it destroyed. That is not going to happen.
I believe that our Lord is coming, and this is a sign.
I believe he's just going to come back to Earth and take it over again.
I think it's the end of crime and hunger. Maybe peace on Earth.
The Earth will be renewed. There'll be no more smog. The water will not be contaminated. The water will be clean. The air will be clean. The earth will be renewed. There will be springtime all over the world. There's not going to be any more hunger, and it is going to come to be.
So, back to the sword of cleavage again. Again, we see that it divides those who stand for injustice from those who stand for justice, for freedom, for love, for brotherhood, for synthesis. And I'll get into that more. This is another quote from Ben's master that I liked. From The Reception of Maitreya. Thus will the sword of cleavage do its work, revealing those who stand for freedom and justice, for practical goodwill and love, revealing also those whose suspicion and fear, prejudice and hate prevent their recognition of the truth of Maitreya's message of compassion and love. Thus will it be, and thus will men be tested as guardians of their future. Isn't that beautiful? And some of the other issues that this brings up, when we talked about the haves, the have-nots, and those with money and power, and those who hold no sway over their day-to-day lives and know it, and know that perhaps in this lifetime they may never have that power of control. And this is one of the reasons for drug abuse. People have to find a way to anesthetize that agony, and of course alcoholism as well, because they are in so much pain, and it's often the sensitive ones of the race, of the human race, that this happens to. All of that will be a thing of the past. No one will anymore be suffering from how Ben terms this, or Maitreya terms it. I'm not sure who said it first. Suffering from spiritual starvation. And along with that, will be some other benefits that come with the energy of Maitreya and the masters and their influence. They have long-term plans for humanity, not just the end of starvation and the restoration of the ecology, or healthcare, housing, education, food, adequate leisure time, and a living wage for all, but such things as their beautification of the cities program. And as Ben had put it, Benjamin Krem, in one of his books, he said their current ugliness, poverty and slums, and lack of life is again the result of greed, callousness, and commercialization, meaning in the cities. And this will become a thing of the past. Instead, open public spaces, gardens, parks, and objects of force, and temples, which I'll explain, which generate beneficial energies, a sense of equilibrium, and free energy. And the study of forms used to be the four-sided pyramid. Now it's a three-sided pyramid, the tetrahedron. This gets into the science of architecture and of shapes and of colors and of sounds. So there will be structures that actually help create equilibrium in the cities through their energy and harmony and other structures that help create energy, free energy, which will benefit the entire city. This we will see the world over. And let me just pause to say, for more information about all this, you can visit, of course, www.share-international.us. And also, not only for the U.S., but for the whole world, is www.share-international.org. Share-international.org, as well as share-international.us. And one thing we should probably point out for the emergence of the world teacher and the masters of wisdom, mankind's elder brothers, was that the world would be cleansed ecologically. Well, that is going to happen. but not magically and suddenly. It will be done by us with the assistance of the spiritual hierarchy. They will make available to us technologies we don't currently possess, one of those being the technologies of light. However, that will necessitate mankind abandoning war beforehand. Otherwise, with those energies, we could create terrible weapons to destroy ourselves. And for the cynics among us, fear not. Hold on to your hope, because that day, the abandonment of war, I mean, is coming sooner than many expect. And if you don't think so, look at some of the things that have already happened that both Maitreya and the Masters predicted and Benjamin Krem reported decades ago. And in most cases, a couple of years before they, actually occurred. I get choked up just thinking about it. Some examples would be the dissolution of the Soviet Union almost overnight, the fall of the Berlin Wall, which experts would have predicted would happen years from then, years from 1989 when it occurred, and the end of apartheid in South Africa without a shot being fired. Not that a lot of shots hadn't been fired before it ended, and a lot of blood spilled. And most of it was the blood of native South Africans whose land the Dutch and English came to settle thousands, many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of years after the indigenous peoples first occupied it, perhaps millions of years after they first occupied it. And that was something that happened fairly quickly and that most of the world didn't expect, that Nelson Mandela, who was sentenced to life imprisonment, would not only be released from jail, but would become president of the country. Now, in retrospect, we're taking all these things for granted. But at the time, it was something that people almost did not dare hope for in their lifetimes. So, what will help us foster this sense of strength and resolve that was mentioned in that message from Ben's master, or rather Maitreya, that was one of Maitreya's messages, excuse me, when he talked about the battle and his troops and hearing the hearing the jingle of their harnesses and asking, can you not hear them marching into the future? Can you not hear the drums calling you to march into the future? Can you be deaf to their thunder? He said in one of the messages. Well, when we talk about this, we're not talking about committing violence, although many people who are standing up for justice, equality, world peace, a clean environment, adequate food supply for all, an end of poverty, and health care and education for everyone, are laying their lives on the line and are being killed. People are literally laying down their lives to see that these changes come to the planet. This we must honor. And as Maitreya had said, got another one of his quotes here that I really like, nothing happens by itself. Man must act and implement his will. So this battle will be fought, for the most part, on the mental plane, not the physical plane. Although there will be a physical aspect too, where we'll get out in the streets and agitate for the changes we want. And this we will do peaceably for all the things I mentioned, everything from a clean environment to ending world hunger and world peace, an end to war. So, as I said, people are sacrificing their lives for all of these things. And it's something that we must honor and pause to contemplate as we listen to this broadcast, as we have full bellies, a roof over our head, an education under our belt, healthcare that we can turn to, a living wage, leisure time, and all the rest of it. Something else that can help too is something that we mention in every broadcast, and that is transmission meditation. And that was brought to humanity by Benjamin Krem from the Spiritual Hierarchy back in 1974. All kinds of meditation are beneficial for everyone. It helps put the physical vehicle, mind, body, emotions, more in touch with the soul. And as that energy is sort of stepped down and, downloaded into the physical brain, it benefits us, making us more loving, intelligent, calm, balanced, creative, healthy. Everything that every human being could ask for. Transmission meditation in itself is a stepping down of these great spiritual energies that hierarchy is trying to transmit to humanity, but are of such a high vibration that they bounce off the mass of humanity. And that'll include me too. But through transmission meditation, it's stepped down, like energy coming from the power lines outside your house through a transformer, where it is lowered in its energy so it can come into the house and power all your devices without blowing all the fuses and overpowering the system. And that's what you do when you do transmission meditation. And although it's not technically a part of it, healings have been known to occur during transmission meditation. And this energy, what's happening with it? Well, it's become part of a pool of energy that you could say, poetically, euphemistically, that it's a source of spiritual energy that all of humanity drinks from. All of creation, actually. You're benefiting all the kingdoms. Mineral, plant, animal, human, and that next kingdom, from whence it came, the kingdom of souls, where the masters reside and where we are all headed. And I'd like to go back to something I had mentioned about the beautification of the cities, since so many of us live in urban areas. And this will also touch upon suburban areas and rural areas as well. In the future time, once the masters are in the world and the sword of cleavage has done its job and we're settled down into a progressive mindset where all the basic human rights of all of humanity are honored, then the cities will have more open space, more parks, more gardens, bodies of water, where appropriate, and as I mentioned, the other types of buildings. Now, people will, of course, be free, as they are now, to choose the suburbs or the countryside, only they'll be more free in the future. And in addition to the buildings that I described, a lot of the older, ugly buildings will be torn down or renovated if they're architecturally significant and historically significant, in which case they probably won't be ugly to begin with. And transportation will be upgraded as well. There will be silent, stress-free, seemingly motionless, quick modes of transportation that will get us everywhere, which will replace, I think to a large extent, the current use of the automobile. Though I'm sure before that, cars will also evolve. So, what else would this involve, given the power of the sword of cleavage helping to change our world? There will be a change in political structure. Right now, we have competition between, we have, for instance, socialism on one hand, capitalism on the other. And this era is an age of synthesis where the two come together. Social democracy, democratic socialism. The masters have said that the ideal mix would be 70% socialism, 30% capitalism. Well, that will get people, some of people upset now. They can't even handle it at this point where we have socialism, I think, in the single digits in America, around 10%, perhaps lower. In Japan, I think maybe it's around 20. And in Europe, the same. The Scandinavian countries, I think, have the highest amount of that mix in social democracy. I think they may have up to, some cases, 40% socialism. I may be overstating, it could be 30%. But in any event, that needs to be flipped, particularly in the States. So as these two different ideologies come together, we see an end to so many isms, and Maitreya said that isms in prison, and more of a, as I said, a synthesis, a blending. Though not every country is meant to have the same type of government and economic system, and they will retain their uniqueness as they were always meant to. And this type of polarization will come to an end. With communism, you had justice without freedom. Capitalism, you have freedom, but not much justice. As Maitreya said, the wagon can't run on one wheel. It needs at least two. And this will also signal an end to economic totalitarianism, where, as I said, three-quarters of the world, or rather one-quarter of the world, is wasting two-thirds of the resources, and three-quarters of the world has to make do with the rest. And this is what we will change. This is what you can look forward to. And this is a subject so vast in scope that we can't possibly cover it in one program. But I'm going to try and squeeze a few more things in here. When we talked about the sharing of the world's resources, what did we mean? Well, all countries will take inventory of what they have in excess, what they don't need. And then there'll be a UN agency that'll help coordinate the pooling of these resources. And then they will be redistributed to the countries that need them. Some other countries have what we need and don't have. We have something in excess that they need. And so this way we'll share. It doesn't mean giving up your home. And it also means a form of self-sacrifice. And people don't like that word, so they don't want to think about it. But what it means is sacrificing the lower for the higher. In terms of personality, it would mean selfishness, desire, and attachment. We're giving that up for the higher soul aspects of our personality. Altruism, awareness, and forgiveness. This is what is meant by evolution. And we will accomplish this through alternating cycles of rest in activity, the in-breath and out-breath of the universe, of the planet, and of humanity. So in this way, we will also move outside of time and space to some degree, but that's a subject for another show. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
As most of us are aware, our world has arrived at a moment of profound transformation. As millions call for peace and justice, many are seeking ways to help serve the world, and at the same time looking for an effective means of personal spiritual development. Transmission meditation is a way to do both. Introduced in 1974 by a master
of spiritual wisdom, transmission is a group meditation that makes available the benevolent energies pouring into the planet in an ever-mounting rhythm and potency. Transmission groups worldwide receive and transform these energies sent by a group of extraordinary teachers, the Masters of Wisdom, led by Maitreya, the World Teacher. Thus stepped down, these energies can be used in the betterment of all life on Earth. This meditation also has a salutary effect on the individual participating in the meditation. It is safe, scientific, non-denominational, and will not interfere with any other religious or spiritual practice. In fact, it will just enhance them. So it's for the religious and non-religious alike. So now, just focus your attention at the chakra center between the eyebrows, called the Ajna Center, which is the center of the will. And let's read together the great invocation and meditate as long as you wish, holding your attention there when it drifts away by thinking Om silently, inwardly. The Great Invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
This idea of sharing to bring justice, to bring right relations, Maitreya emphasizes those three qualities, sharing, justice, right relationship, that they work together, and that all the resources don't belong to any one nation, they belong to all the nations and all the people. And while there'll be people who want to accumulate wealth in the future and some will want to work less, that will still be there, but it'll be more moderate. And there'll be a right supply for everyone with less need for negative spending or police and DOD and more time to celebrate our human potential and creativity so that the higher types of artists will come out. Imagine a world full of Picassos and Michelangelos.
And that was a foretaste of this episode of the Planetary Makeover Show, featuring Mr. Ray Paulson, environmental engineer, and a longtime student of the Ageless Wisdom Teachings.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Planetary Makeover. Today's topic is everybody's favorite, the future. Why do you think Star Trek is so popular? And we've got a guest who can help us discern what's coming for humanity. And that person is Ray Paulson. And Ray is an environmental engineer as well as an astute and longtime student of the Ageless Wisdom Teaching. That ancient body of knowledge that, though it's over 100,000 years old, still has things to teach us not only about the present, but the future. Welcome, Ray.
Well, thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're so glad you were able to join us, and it's such a huge topic that we're going to need to have you back again. I can tell already. And we need your help here, Ray, because we're thinking along the lines of How did we get here? What does this mean? And where are we going? And so I wanted to jump into some of the questions that I'm sure you hear, because one thing I neglected to mention is that Ray also speaks a lot publicly. And because he speaks so much to the public, he sort of has his pulse or his hand on the pulse of the public. And along those lines, I'm wondering, Ray, what do you see at this point as some of the greatest fears of the public? And also, how do you reassure your audience? And what results do you see coming from humanity's cry for help? And we're going to go along those lines.
Yeah, David, thank you for the question. There's a lot of crisis today, and people are wondering, what kind of future do we have? And to come up with the topic promise of the future, people wonder how, with global warming, with social justice issues, with financial markets, favoring the 1%, the future doesn't look very good to people. And I remind them that we do have a promise of the future. And what we're seeing today, our ageless wisdom tells us, is every 2,000 years, humanity has gone through crisis after crisis historically. And what this has to do with is the energies that influence each cycle of time change. And when the change gets to be about 50-50, and that's what's happening now, we start to see this tug to go back to the old way or to go to this new way. And that sort of tug back and forth brings crisis. The energies are 50-50 and people aren't quite sure what to do. Some are ready to go one way and some kind of want to hang on. And this puts people into a quandary, like what's going on?
I see. And so what do you say to try and reassure your audiences that we will in fact survive and thrive through all of these crises?
Well, the fact is, historically, we always have. So that's one of the basic answers, is that we've survived these in the past and we'll survive this today as well. What we're seeing is literally the new energies go to take birth through the old. And our ageless wisdom calls this a birth pang. And this says that this is the new coming in, but yet it rocks the boat a bit and we see these crises. See, the walks for justice, or we see some of the injustice, which invites the marches for justice. And this is this call for help that starts to happen as this news starts to come in.
I'd like to touch upon, before we go any further, a little bit right now about this group of perfected human beings that we've heard so much about and that you have educated so many people about, known as the Masters of Wisdom, or humanity's elder brothers, the Lords of Compassion. And why are they so central?
There are those that are more advanced than the average. They call Masters of Wisdom, or humans that have the ability to express more love and more intelligence to answer our problems. Every 2,000 years when we've experienced these crises, the Masters have come to help. And one of their primary roles is these new energies come in, they would simply bounce off the planet unless they were qualified. And they qualify the energies for us so that we can receive them. And then we pick up on this influence of the new and we start to build the new from this influence. So we could call the Masters, some people call them superhuman or supernormal ability. They have more ability than the average, and they can truly help us go forward.
And my understanding is, though I haven't been studying this subject quite as long as you have, that they are us in the future, that all of us will eventually become perfected human beings lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, and we won't have to come back anymore. And then we'll be assisting our younger brothers and sisters just as our elder brothers are assisting us today. So what can we do as ordinary citizens to help bring about these crucially needed changes, or the promise of the future, as you put it?
Yeah, to bring the change, the Masters come to qualify the energies so that we can fill this influence and we have the will to go forward. And they also, they qualify the energy where we find this new birth or this renewed self-esteem, where we find this connection, where we want to make a difference in the world. And so as they pick up in their number and their presence, they also begin to teach us. And through these energies uplifting us and their teaching, as it starts to take hold, which they've done in the past cycles, they'll do it again in this new cycle. With this deeper connection within ourselves, we get moved to bring these changes and to build the changes. The masters have told us in ageless wisdom, they can't do the work for us, but they simply will teach us like they have before, and then we'll be moved to make these what changes we need to make.
I know it's been mentioned by the world teacher, Maitreya, who's come with the Masters of Wisdom. He's sort of the master of the masters. How does the public respond to that idea of people power as the new world superpower? And does it inspire them?
Yeah, a lot of people, people power, people are being moved. So this energy is taking hold. We see evidence of this when the Wall Street greed was taken on about 15 years ago or 10 years ago, where the 1% have all the wealth, we want our fair share. And people slept outside of Wall Street, and not just in the USA, but worldwide, people were marching for economic justice. This came out of nowhere, it seemed, but ageless wisdom tells us it didn't. These energies are taking hold, or they're bringing birth through and moving people into action. So we're seeing the result of these energies qualified by the masters, letting us know that they're here among us.
And I'm willing to bet, Ray, that a lot of our audience are cut from that same cloth. A lot of them have been in these protests, marches, demonstrations, organizations, helped found them, and are acting upon these energies consciously or not, and are part of this promise of the future that you have outlined for us. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. Can you give us a little bit of the spiritual, historical background leading up to this new age? And why is it called the Age of Aquarius?
The Age of Aquarius, well, the last age was the Age of Pisces. And in this age, humanity was to qualify their ability to be an individual and to read and write and use their intellect. And we've been successful at this. But towards the end of an age, we start to see the vices show up more and more, and we start to fall to greed and other negative qualities. And that's when the new energies are picking up, bringing this change. And the new time or the new cycle, the energies are said to influence us to cooperate, that rather than excessive competition, which then leads to negative, because, you know, it's a negative game at some point, that these energies of the Aquarius will bring cooperation. And that without that quality, your organization, whether it be a business, a church, a government entity, a nonprofit, will not be successful. And this cooperation will mean collaboration, where the top CEO will have to collaborate with all the folks in there and come to a consensus-based approach to moving that organization forward.
And this unprecedented era that you're describing that we're moving into, the Age of Aquarius, can you touch upon, in short, this new civilization that it's heralding? Because I think a lot of our audience is moving into the new and is embracing it, but may not have a clear picture of what it is, what our aim is, and what's coming.
Yeah, so relayed in the Ageless Wisdom, as Senior Master of Wisdom, did bring some thoughts about this promise of the future, but what's to come. Rather than saying the end is coming in a fear-based model, which we hear amongst those who fundamentalize the ageless wisdom, it's talks about a new beginning and a new growth. And in this new growth brings, again, promise of the future for better and improved living conditions. And how might that be possible? Well, one is that as we find this deeper connection, we'll be moved to serve, practical service. And the masters are here pouring the energies out, and we're picking up on them. And in these energies, we're taught, whether we know it or not, we're being influenced. And they'll at some point be verbalizing the teaching. They've talked about things like unlimited or virtually relatively unlimited renewable energy through what's called cold fusion using a simple isotope of water that'll answer all of our future energy needs. I know as an engineer, if we had that alone, we could liberate, we could take poverty off the planet, and we could liberate people from suffering. They have many, many solutions, David, and we can talk about them as we go on today.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like not only the promise, but the hope of the future. And speaking of which, in this coming era, what will world relations, you know, politics and government, and the distribution of resources look like?
Yeah, so one thing the masters have relayed, that for every act of negative, it's being transformed energetically to two times positive, if we could imagine that. It's hard for me as an engineer to imagine that, but energetically, the energetic qualities that make us up in this magnetic field around ourselves, around the collective, around the planet, is literally being transformed positive for every negative. And that's what's called, what I've understand to read as a purification process. So that at some point in the future, we will not see war, we will not see the negative game be employed, where we need excessive DOD and excessive police. And all those liberated folks will be contributing to the planet in a positive way to improve the planet. And through this, we're reminded that because so many will take on productive work, there'll be more time for leisure, more time just to simply enjoy life.
Could you speak, too, about how our spirituality will change and the utilization of our full potential in this glorious future?
You know, okay, human potential, it's been the big question throughout the ages. How do we unleash human potential? In this age of Aquarius, it's said that this is the age of personal growth, or the age, some called enlightenment in the East, or we've heard the term self-realization. I think in the West, we might hear know thyself. And this connection with ourselves, we find this renewed self-esteem. Some call it rebirth, or they've been born, you know, again or something. That we hear this brand new coming, and this is supposed to increase. This is the first time that we'll have more than one master with us. We've, in prior ages, had usually a single world teacher come. And this time we'll have a group coming, and to stimulate 8 billion people to begin to cooperate and to begin to share, to bring justice to people, to educate them, to release this human potential, whether it be music, art, engineering, whatever it may be, that they get up and move with what they came for. And when you have a real interest in something, you really start to gel. And imagine that groups have to work together because the energies will demand it. And this will, like candles lighting candles, will take off around the planet and just grow this movement into building this new, what's called a new brilliant civilization.
And with that, Ray, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to appear on the show. And I hope that you will come back again.
Thank you, David.
Visit us on Facebook at hashtag Planetary Makeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our latest bi-weekly Planetary Makeover show. Shows are organized by category or by most recently produced show. For more background information, visit www.shareinternational-west.org. That's www.shareinternational-west.org. For related books, DVDs, and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the world teacher Maitreya, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com. We also invite you to watch another show that we really love entitled What in the World is Happening? And that show, which you don't want to miss, is produced by Share International Canada. Please view episodes of What in the World is Happening on demand at youtube.com/@whatintheworldishappeningnow. It live streams mostly on the second Saturday of every month at the Share International Canada Facebook page.